continue what Brother Rosendo started Sunday morning. He gave us the he talked about us about the Ten Commandments. Then Brother Greg Sunday night talked to us out of the Book of Romans with the 50 rules of being happy. And tonight I'm going to continue that a little bit and talk about a couple other rules that he didn't cover. And I want to start off by saying a word of prayer. If you pray along with me, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that I've had this opportunity to come and talk with these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you'll help me to set myself aside and let the Holy Spirit work through me, Lord. I believe that you put this little message on my heart because you want these folks to get a blessing from it. And I pray that if anybody walks away from here that can't get something from this, it's my fault. So help me to put my problems and personality aside and just speak with you in my mind. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand your message, help us to believe it, help us to always hold it close to our hearts, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and we'll start there. We're going to be ending up somewhere else, but I want to start in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Is everybody there? Okay, I direct your. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now my question to you is, where do we get the law of the Lord? Right here. Okay? And our delight, in order to be blessed, is to delight in his word, to read it, to memorize it. I know when I first started reading my Bible, I went, the man that led me to the Lord, his name was Virgil Webster, and he was a co-worker, so I was fortunate in two ways. He was a very strong Christian. And we had 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, just me and him when I was working at Motorola. So I got some really good discipleship right from the start. I was eating the meat, didn't have time for the milk. Okay, and one of his things was he loved this book. He impressed upon me the fact that we need to read it every day. Preferably start our morning. First thing we do every morning, we should start with the Word of God. I don't say that to be bragging, but I know my nature. And if I put off till late sometime during the day to read my Bible, very easily I could forget that I didn't read my Bible. So my first thing every morning is I make me a cup of coffee, I sit down, and I read for the day. The plan that I use, I go through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. I find that, and I do a proverb a day. So I would like to encourage you to do that. Now, one question I want to ask you, what's the most important question we could ask spiritually? Anybody? It's in here. Yeah, well, let's go to the book of Acts. We'll see what that the most important question is. Chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And a lot of you are probably familiar with this chapter. It deals mostly with Paul and Silas and their travels. Paul and Silas are first arrested and beaten and thrown in jail. So the circumstances that lead up to this question are starting in verse 25 of chapter 16. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul and Silas, with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And here's the most important question. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Like I said, I told you that the man who led me to the Lord was a co-worker. Well, I had to ask that question one time in my life. We all have to ask that question. What must I do to be saved? And of course, we all know that question, the answer to that question. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, that's the most important question, but what's the second most important question, spiritually? I read about it in Psalm 1:1. What must I do to be blessed? Delight in the law of the Lord. So I want to talk a couple of things out of God's Word what we can do in order to be blessed. Each one of us should be asking for blessings every day. I ask for blessings, for mercy, for forgiveness. I do all that before I even start to pray the prayer requests. You know, Penny and I pray together every morning, and that's the first thing out of my mouth. Forgive me and bless me. And, you know, so I want to turn your attention to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. This is where some of the ways of getting blessed. Now, the Lord has, Greg told us about the 50 rules for Christians. You told us about the 10 commandments, which are mostly for Jews, but we can benefit by following them. But there is a part of the Bible that gives us specific instructions for specific things. And this is the section that... And I don't want anybody getting mad at me, because this is the Lord talking, okay? We each and every one of us have different roles we play during our lives. It goes for lost people as well as saved people. Some of you ladies are wives. Some of us men are husbands. Probably at one time or another, we were all children. Those of us who aren't retired yet were servants. And we all answer to a master as servants. So I want to talk about each and every one of these little things, that if we follow them and do what they say, we will be blessed. So I want to start by, 17, verse 17 of chapter 5. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a good rule. Always talk to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So here we go. Wives. How many wives we got here? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't write this, lady, so don't throw anything at me. "Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Just like the church is to be subject to our Savior, the wives need to be subject to their own husbands. Now, you may think right away, well, that ain't fair. You know, why do I have to be subject to this guy? You know, why should she have to be subject to me? But if she wants to do what the Lord wants, if she delights in the law of the Lord, she's going to be subject under her husband. She will get blessed for that, okay? Just like those rules that Greg talked about Sunday night. You do those rules, you're going to get blessed. But it isn't just the wives that have something to do. Look at the next ones. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be made one flesh, or shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, the Lord put these two sections of together perfectly to so that we could have a blessed marriage, a blessed coupling. I think back in the, I don't remember when it started, when the women's lib movement started, probably in the 60s sometimes. That's where a lot of the problems we have today started out. Well, that deviated from God's plan, because the women's lib, I think, ruined God's plan for a perfect marriage. You know, the ladies got in their heads that I shouldn't have to be under the husband. Well, I'm just as good as he is. And it's true, but for the wrong reasons. They believe that for the wrong reasons. Just as you wives have to reverence your husbands, we have to take care of our wives. Just like if I were to take care of my own body. You know, I don't do anything purposely to hurt myself, and I would never do anything purposely to hurt Penny. You know, I'll always protect her as best that I can. You know, I tell everybody, because my failing health, she's the one that is responsible for my being alive today. I truly believe that. If the Lord hadn't given her to me, I probably would be dead right now. Because she was able to... She was smart enough to get a good education. She had a much better career than I had. I had a blue-collar education. And as my health failed, you know, a high school education doesn't mean much when you can't physically do things anymore. And because of her insurance through her employers, I was able to go see the doctor when I needed to, get my prescriptions and the insurance that associated with that. So I owe her a lot, so I'm going to do everything I can to nourish her, protect her, and if there's anything I could do to provide for her, I will do that. So the Lord put together a perfect plan for a perfect marriage. Unfortunately, in recent years and decades, this is all being torn apart to a point where, half of all marriages fail, or could be even more than that by now. Because when people get married, they're not looking at the Word of God. They're not holding that the laws of the Lord precious enough to their hearts. Okay? What else were we at one time in our lives? And I noticed we got one here with us tonight. Children, yes. Chapter 6 starts out with children. You're a children, aren't you? Okay, do you know what God wants for you to do in this book? Well, I'll tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to obey your parents. And you know, every person in this room was at one time a child. There's a child right there. Do you obey your parents? You better. I wouldn't disobey him if he was my dad. Anyway, you know, and I'll tell you what's funny. The Ten Commandments tells you to honor your father and your mother. It repeats it here again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live a long time on this earth. So, you know, I once talked with a couple of boys that were the sons of a friend of mine back in Ohio. And they asked me one time, because they saw me reading the Bible, he says, well, is there anything in there for us? So I knew exactly where to take them. So I took them one step at a time. I put my thumb over everything, and I just showed the word children, okay? And I says, what does that say? Children. Are you a child? Who wrote this book? And they said, well, you know, they were Catholic, but they were new enough to say God wrote that book. So who's he talking to in this? I guess he's talking to us, you know? And then I moved my thumb obey your parents. And I said, we have to obey our parents? Well, God promises a long life. I know it isn't always true with children. Some children get sick and they get hurt and they die young. But for the most part, God promises a long life to those who obey. And I've always found it interesting. It tells the children to obey their parents and to honor their parents. And maybe, Rosendo or Greg, you could help me out here. But as many times I've read this book, I can't find anywhere where it says, children, love your parents. Have you? I can't find it. All I ever see is, it tells you to love God, but it doesn't tell any child to love his parents. Maybe it's because God built love in naturally, where it's natural for a child to love its parents. I don't know. But apparently God saw fit. He didn't have to tell that. Just to be the two important things, obey and honor. Because if you don't love your parents, you could still obey them, and you could still honor them, you know. I know without love, that kind of thing is pretty hard to do. But I think that's why he made the obedience and the honor the most important things for children toward their parents. I know my father, he died back in 1990, and he was a rough man, a heavy drinker. And he was what you would call back then a disciplinarian, but today he'd probably go to jail, you know, under today's standards. But none of us kids ever got in trouble with the law, you know. We he taught us responsibility. You know, the first thing I did when I got my first job is I saved up money and bought my mom and dad or my mother a washer and dryer. She never before that she just had the old wringer washers, you know, where they've had to put the clothes through a wringer. And having nine kids, she had to use that wringer quite a bit. So I says, I know what I'm going to get for my mom first chance I get. And the second thing I got was a microwave. And microwaves were really new back then, and they were quite expensive. But I kept saving money, and I got her that too. And I got stuff for my dad too. He liked tools, so I bought him tools. So I even though that my father was really rough with us, to this day, I love him very much, and I miss him. I think about him every now and then. He's been gone for 30 years now, and I still think of him. Okay, and there again, the fathers have a responsibility, too, toward their children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, If you notice through all the things I've been talking about now, sure you have a responsibility, but there's a corresponding responsibility. Women have wives have a responsibility, but so do husbands. Children have a responsibility, but so do fathers. It's interesting they don't mention mothers in this, but as the head of the household, it's the father's responsibility to provide and protect and I don't know. I guess mothers, their natural role is nurturing. I don't know. Maybe teaching. I know. My dad taught me how to work on cars, and you know how to work in situations where it could be hazardous. Most of my career, I've worked around hazardous things, either hazardous materials or hazardous situations, like in around heavy equipment. All kinds of chemicals, you know, and I think my father implanted on me the common sense I need that served me well throughout my career when it comes to that kind of thing. Now, I didn't always obey my dad, I'll tell you that much, but I was a lost Catholic, so that could be an excuse. I'd sure obey him today. But it's all this part of the Bible always struck me as, even though one side has a responsibility, the other side has a corresponding responsibility. It fits together. The next ones, servants. Who all still work here? Okay, so you're servants. It's interesting to note also that a lot of the modern translations of the Bible exchange the term servant with slave. And so that destroys the work ethic toward God. Slaves are maybe servants, but they're not willing servants. But the servants that I believe that the Bible is talking about here are like employees being compensated. It could be bond servants too, working off a debt. But a bond servant still isn't a slave. Some of the Bible translations substitute bond servant, but that's not the same thing as a slave. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, and unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, as a lost man, my father taught me always to be responsible in my job, always do the best job that I can. I had that ethic even as a lost man, and I never did it to get ahead in the job. Promotions I got, that's not why I was doing a good job. It was a reward for the good job that I did, but I didn't do the good job to get that specific reward. I didn't, even after I got saved, I kept reading this over, and I said, well, I've always been that way, but now I know now I'm also going to have rewards from the Lord in heaven. He's going to look, when I stand in front of him at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged in many ways. We're going to be judged, of course, by what we've done in this body. We're going to be judged as to what kind of father we were, or mother, or husband, or wife, or employee. We're going to be judged for what kind of an American we are. That's why I'm so full of anguish with what's going on in our country today, because I can't prevent it and I don't know how to stop it, but yet as an American I'll be judged for it. Now those that are causing all the problems, they have their own judgments, but we'll be one person, but we'll be judged many things and according to the Word of God. Right here, you ladies, if you're a wife, you're going to be judged what you did as a wife. How kind of wife were you? Both men, how do you? What kind of husbands were you? Did you take care of your wife? Did you follow what the Lord wants? Your kids, did you obey your parents? Did you honor your parents? So you're going to be judged for all that at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to get rewards or you're going to lose rewards based on what's the Bible talks about. We'll be judged by fire. Only the silver and gold will come through. All the hay, wood, and stubble, the things we did for the wrong reason. If I did as a good job just strictly to get a promotion or to be in good with the boss, that's going to burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not going to gain me any, because I had the wrong desire in mind when I was working like that. And then here's one that I've often told bosses that I've had. I showed in the book with this part of the Bible. It says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. neither is there respect of persons with him." So I've talked to some bosses that I've had, and I'll finish up here. And it opened their eyes, because I had some bosses that were saved, and they never knew that. Simply because you could be saved and never read your Bible. That happens all the time. I've run into people, I'm constantly telling the kids at the academy, read your Bible, read your Bible. I'll give you a jump drive with my reading plan on it. And I did that for a couple of kids. I don't know if it took root, But that's what I push. Read that book. Read that. You don't have to worry about memorizing it, because the Holy Spirit will bring out verses as you witness to somebody. Because my memory is terrible. I probably couldn't memorize a tract of Bible to save my life. But I've been in situations where I'd be witnessing to somebody and bang, man, these verses that I wouldn't have been able to think of them to save my life, if I was just sitting at home. by myself, but when I was witnessing them, the Holy Spirit came upon me and pulled these verses up, and I gave them to the person. You know, they told me their needs or their troubles or salvation. You know, I seldom have to actually take, I ask them if they want to see it in the Bible, you know, when I bring them down to Romans Road, but the Holy Spirit pulls those verses out for me. And I tell them exactly what they need to do to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A lot of people probably don't do a soul winning because they're intimidated by that. You got to know the Romans Road, but that's not necessarily true. You can think back on your own salvation experience and what that person talked to you about. You know, because the important part is that they understand that there's a sinner. They're a sinner. There's a price to pay for sin. And what astounds a lot of people is I've had people tell me, well, I did this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to hell. I said, no, you're not going to go to hell because you did that, this, that, and the other thing. You're going to go to hell because you committed a sin of omission. I told them there's two kinds of sins, commission and omission. And they said, what's that? Well, commission is when you do something bad. He didn't know it to do good and doeth it not, to him a sin. The omission is you know to do good. Well, that's the verse I just quoted. And doeth it not to him and his sin also. So I tell people, no, you're not going to go to hell for swearing or drinking or carousing. You're going to go to hell because you didn't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I says, he died for all. He can't save me. I've done too much. I says, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that he died for all our sins. So I want to leave you with this. These are some more rules to be blessed. That's the name of my sermon tonight, is how to be blessed. That's why I started it out in Psalm 1:1. This is the way to be blessed. Read it. Like I said, you don't have to memorize. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. I'm certainly not, but I like to talk about the Lord. You know I know the first time I ever preached, I was scared to death, but because and I feel it now, but I know everybody in this room here is saved. But I preached a message one time, and I was soaking wet with sweat by the time I got done, because I knew there were people in the pews that were not saved. They were unsaved people, and their souls were in my hand. So it really put a drain on me. So anyway, I encourage you to read this book, to use this book to talk to people about the Lord. If your children obey your parents, you know you're going to live long if you obey your parents. And honor your father and mother. Try to follow the Ten Commandments as best you can. I don't know if Pastor will continue on with some of these lessons, because there's lots of stuff in here that could help you find a blessing. If you read it, follow it, and live it.